You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The good news is that the partisan circus in the House is over. Nancy Pelosi's circus is done. And we're not going to see the one-sided show trial that the House is engaged in for months and months and months. That farce is over.
That is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, and making it clear we're done with the House and its circus. After Nancy Pelosi finally finished signing off the order, using all of the pens that then she could disperse to her fellow supporters, and smiling and laughing and giggling. I thought it was supposed to be a solemn event. And she wore black, remember, on the day of the vote? That's so solemn. Don't be laughing, don't be giggling. Well, they had no problem with doing that yesterday. But now, of course, it's in the hands of the Senate. Couple points here. First, I want to make sure that I keep you posted on those things critical to the Trump administration as well. The Government Accountability Office, and everybody's trumpeting this, especially the mainstream media, says the Trump administration broke the law when it withheld U.S. security aid to Ukraine last year, money approved and appropriated, I should say, by Congress. Now, that money to Ukraine is at the center of the impeachment of President Trump. And the GAO, that's a nonpartisan congressional watchdog, in a statement issued today, said the White House Budget Office violated the Impoundment Control Act. Basically, that limits the White House from withholding funds Congress has appropriated. That apparently is a fact. Of course, the question will be, and it will not be a question in the minds of the Democrats and liberals, was it anything to do with a, quote, quid pro quo? Maybe that's going to come back into play. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see, but it's obviously going to add fuel to the Democrat allegations that Trump's conduct was afoul of the law. But remember, Ukraine and Zelensky said, we were never threatened, never heard of any such thing, and the only fact witness that appeared during the House committee hearings, U.S. Ambassador Sondland, saying, I asked the president what he wanted, and he said nothing, no quid pro quo, nothing. But now with this new information coming out, watch that be the new and next battleground. By the way, here's something from Senator Blackburn, Marshall Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, and I think it's right to the point. She says, if we're going to have all these senators sworn in, we have some of them that should recuse themselves. The four Democrat senators running for president. Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Michael Bennett. She said presidential candidates should not be allowed to, quote, sit in judgment of the very president they want to replace. She's absolutely correct. Do you think they'll recuse themselves? Do not hold your breath. In the meantime, Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, says, let's just get her done.
The best thing for the American people is to end this crap as quickly as possible, to have a trial in the Senate, bipartisan acquittal of the president, and on February the 4th, when the president comes into the House chamber to deliver the State of the Union, he will have been acquitted by the Senate. He will be the strongest he's ever been politically.
And I think he's absolutely correct about that. Listen, we've got a lot coming up over the rest of the 2 hours. For one, if Democrats insist on calling witnesses in the Senate trial, they better buckle up. Also, New York sanctuary city policies freeing an illegal to rape a 90-year-old woman. And Dr. Rick Layman will be joining us, reference sports concussions, also a weight loss drug linked to cancer. And Nancy Pelosi and maiden form bras. Nancy Pelosi and maiden form bras. Oh, yeah, I can link those two stories for you. Plus, our children, our adults, you, are you ready for a doll with a penis? It's coming. In fact, it's already on display. We'll have that story for you. Also, the latest on that Delta Airlines jet dumping fuel over Los Angeles, schools, and an emergency landing the other day. Apparently now the pilot says, I did not ask or say I needed to dump fuel. In fact, he was asked by the tower, you don't need to hold or dump fuel. And he said, negative. But then they ended up doing it. Now, maybe they decided at the last minute we are still overweight because they were headed for a trip to Shanghai and they'd had some problems while they got it straightened out. But then they released it too late. It was at too low an altitude to properly dissipate, atomize, and children receiving jet fuel in several schoolyards. But they're all okay. But the investigation continues. We've got a lot to cover for you for the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. And I'm ready for you, and I hope you're ready for this. Log and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Senate will conduct a fair trial. That means we'll give the House managers an opportunity to present their case. We'll listen to what they have to say. But then we're going to do something that the House didn't do, which is we're going to give President Trump a full opportunity to defend himself, to present his case, to lay out the facts and evidence and law that the House ignored. And once the president is able to defend himself, I am confident that the result of that is the president will be acquitted. And the reason is these articles of impeachment on their face are ridiculous. They don't satisfy the constitutional standard of high crimes and misdemeanors. And so we've moved out of Nancy Pelosi's world. It's why she delayed this for so long, because she knew that once the House no longer had it, that they wouldn't be able to put on a kangaroo court like they have. And instead, we're going to move in the Senate where I hope and believe we're going to follow the law. And that means we're going to acquit the president.
That would be Senator Ted Cruz again, speaking about his belief that we're going to see a fair trial in the Senate versus what we saw in the House. And clearly in the House, there were no witnesses appearing on behalf of the president. They were not allowed. How many times did the Republicans ask, can we have this person? Can we have that person? Can we just have the whistleblower? No. Can we raise any questions leading to the whistleblower? No. And if they're going to insist, if the House managers, as they're called, coming over under Pelosi's direction to conduct this prosecution in the Senate, if they're going to insist on calling witnesses, they better buckle up. I think at this point, House Judiciary Committee Chairman and House Impeachment Manager Jerry Nadler is acknowledging, guys, let's back away from the ledge here. He said, we didn't hear from that many of the witnesses, but we've heard enough from witnesses to prove the case beyond any doubt. In other words, suggesting we don't really need to hear any more witnesses. Well, to shore up the case, they might have to do that, or at least make an effort, because, again, as Senator Cruz points out, why, on what principle, on what constitutional pinpoint, did you try to nail the president for impeachment? Just listen.
If you look at the articles that the House voted out, you remember for months and months they were talking about quid pro quo. Well, they didn't vote out anything on quid pro quo. They were talking for weeks and weeks about bribery. They didn't vote out anything on bribery. This is the first time in the history of the country a president has ever been impeached without an article even alleging criminal conduct. They don't allege a single federal law that was violated, not a criminal law, not a civil law. This is a partisan sham.
Absolutely. A sham. It's been a circus. It's a sham. It's useless. And here's the other part. Now, I raised this in the monologue a few moments ago. Four of those senators sitting in judgment in the jury box regarding this impeachment inside the Senate are running for the office of presidency. They want to be the next president. I have to ask you, have you ever seen a trial where those in the jury box obviously have a vendetta against the person on trial? If it happened, it shouldn't have. The lawyers would be striking such jurors. Even a judge would step in and say, I don't care if both of you want this guy. This guy obviously cannot sit in there in judgment. There's no way they can be biased. Have you ever been called before a jury panel and had to answer questions? And do you know this person? Do you know that person? Can you impartially judge? Can you put aside any of your things you might have heard or read? Can you accept this on the basis of what you see in front of you and not your preconditioned thought? But again, as Senator Blackburn of Tennessee pointed out, look at these four Democrat senators that will be sitting, quote, in judgment. Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado. And just yesterday, he got the endorsement from James Carville, former Bill Clinton advisor and campaign strategist, and you heard him here on this air. If you missed that, by the way, go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, pull up the podcast, and hear how Carville says Bennett's the only guy that could really go against Trump. Anyway, Senator Michael Bennett, you got Senator Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota, Senator Bernie Sanders, Vermont, and, of course, Senator Warren of Massachusetts. Four of the senators that will be, quote, in the jury box hearing the impeachment testimony against President Trump are already trying to get his job. And they've been campaigning against him from day one they got elected. They have been maligning him, slandering him, accusing him. Senator Graham, Republican, South Carolina, says, I also have some advice for those GOP senators.
Well, I would tell my colleagues on the Republican side that Chuck Schumer is not seeking the truth. If you think Chuck Schumer is trying to find out what happened here, you're missing a lot. Chuck Schumer is trying to take back the Senate. He's trying to make the argument, if you don't call a witness, you're trying to cover up for the president. The truth of the matter is that Chuck Schumer is willing to destroy executive privilege. I can only imagine what he would be saying if this were a Democratic president. Who is he asking for? The National Security Advisor to the president, his chief of staff, the Secretary of State, and the OMB director. Four people essential to any presidency, and he could give a damn if Trump loses executive privilege. They just hate this guy so much.
They do. They do. And it will be interesting because you got Senator Schumer, Democrat in the Senate, wanting to call those you just heard, listed by Senator Graham. And as I told you, the prosecutor for the House bringing it over, Nadler, now saying, I think we got enough. Let's don't put anyone else up there because it might go upside down on us. That's what they're trying to say. And if they're going to really be fair, should those four senators that are running for the White House, should they still be allowed to partake in this event? Senator Graham, by the way, said, I expect a bipartisan acquittal for President Trump. And some are estimating this thing will be over in 2 weeks or less. Should be. The House, according to Graham, should be able to make its case 24 hours. They'll basically do it for 24 hours. And he said, hopefully we can do that in just a couple of days, break it up. Then the defense team will make its case based on the record. He said, I hope it's going to be done in a week. And I predict a bipartisan acquittal. But, of course, the Democrats are not going to go quietly into the night. Not at this point. I mean, they got too much riding on this. Which, again, is going to be interesting because if these four senators running for the White House right now trying to get the Democrat nomination, if they're going to do their job, they've got to be sitting in there and listening to testimony. They can't be out on the trail campaigning. This comes at the worst time possible for Senator Bennett, Klobuchar, Sanders, and Warren. Worst time possible. Oh, they can go out and try to do the campaigning and then come rushing in when a vote is being ready to be, maybe they can, you know, claim. That's going to have to, well, let's see how that plays out. Now, Nancy Pelosi stated yesterday, basically, that she thinks what is going to happen with this president is going to be lasting for the nation. I mean, she started running quotes from "Hear the Ride of Paul Revere," 420 years ago, all the things you've heard through history that are imprinted in your textbooks when you're young, reading about U.S. history. She thinks this is going to be a lasting dagger into the heart of this president that all of those to come behind us will read and see how this president got impeached because of all the nasty, nasty things he did. That's Nancy Pelosi's attitude. Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. Well, he defines Nancy's thought in this way.
You don't have to be Mensa material, Tucker, to see that Speaker Pelosi is swollen with partisan rage. And the whole process in the House was rigged. We're going to do it differently in the Senate. We're going to treat both sides fairly. As I said the other day, when we're done, I don't want the American people to look at the Senate's work and say, well, we just got run over by the same truck twice. It was unfair in the House and it was unfair in the Senate. I want people to walk away and say, look, the Senate was fair. They did it right. They gave equal time to both sides, and we understand the allegations, and the Senate voted, and that's what we're going to try to do.
They're going to try anyway. And, of course, the Democrats, with Chuck Schumer in the Senate, and the House prosecutors, led by Jerry Nadler, will be doing what they can to make sure there's nothing fair here. I'm going to point out to you again, if they're really going to be fair, should the four senators currently running for the White House, should they be allowed to cast a vote? Now, of course, they're critical. They're critical when it comes to the numbers, although it still won't be enough numbers to impeach. So maybe it's possible that even Sanders and, Sanders and Klobuchar and Warren would decide, or Bennett would decide, hey, let us go. Tell us we have to step out. We can't, because then we can go campaign. Because they think they can do more good for themselves campaigning than sitting in the Senate listening to drone and drone and blah, 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 even if he lasts 2 weeks. One senior White House official saying, I think it's extraordinarily unlikely we'll be going beyond 2 weeks. But, of course, Nancy Pelosi already saying this is going to be lasting. This is going to hurt. This is going to leave a mark on President Trump. And then you got MSNBC, Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough. He has a stern warning for any of those witnesses or anyone who might come forward and testify on behalf of Donald Trump. He said, quote, history will be bleak for anyone who's continuously lying for the president. He said those shameless Trumpsters will remain shameless Trumpsters. We know how history writes this. We know that everyone who defends Donald Trump right now will be exposed. That's, of course, in MSNBC morning host Joe Scarborough. He's convinced. He knows how it's going to end. Well, he's out to lunch if he thinks it's going to end in an impeachment of Trump. And, of course, when he says, if you are going to lie for President Trump, history will be bleak. Well, first of all, you're going to have to accept the fact that anyone testifying, if they're brought in on behalf of the president, is going to be lying. But you go ahead and go that way if you want. If you do, I want to ask a question about the lies from the other side. And there have been numerous lies and conjecture and perspective and nonsense and noise that means nothing. And Senator Graham again. He says, I do believe, but I know where this is going to be headed. Here's his prediction.
We lost 5 seats as Republicans when we impeached Clinton. People thought we went too far. I think 2020 is going to be a blowout. I think what Nancy Pelosi did is spike the ball at halftime. The score on impeachment is 1-0 us. They lost 1 Democratic seat by impeaching the president. By the time the trial's over and we have an election in November, there's going to be a backlash. And let me tell you why. Most Americans jealously guard the right to pick their own leaders. And I think they're going to hold it against politicians who tried to take that right away. We're going to get the House back. We're going to keep the Senate majority, and President Trump's going to be reelected. And one of the reasons is the way they've conducted themselves.
Now, that's going to be a lasting mark. So Pelosi talking about a lasting mark might well be all those pens you used yesterday to sign your impeachment document. You were basically signing the 2020 election over to Donald J. Trump. We'll have more on this in the second hour because there's several more facets I want to cover. I want to take a short break. I'll tell you, by the way, before we finish this hour, we're going to hear from Dr. Rick Lehman, reference concussions in sports. But we're going to also deal with the China trade tariff war, which we signed off on.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You remember, of course, once President Trump started getting tough with China, threatening tariffs, then imposing tariffs, and China retaliated, and many on the left start saying, oh my God, the sky's falling. This president's going to destroy the entire world economy. Well, we just signed off yesterday between the president of China and the president of this nation, phase one, on that trade deal. It's phase one. There's more to come. Now, exactly how much should we look at this and think, well, that's a really, really good deal? The words of Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
For the first time, we have a real enforceable agreement with China that is very substantive and covers everything from forest technology issues to structural agriculture issues, to purchases, to currency, and real enforcement.
Real enforcement. That's the key point. So you can have a deal, such as the Iran nuclear deal that Obama did, and if you have no way to enforce it and hold them accountable and punish them, then you've got nothing. If you've got any kind of deal that basically has a phrase in there, they can rewrite it at will, that means at any point, they could just say, we're going to redo it. And you're stuck with, yeah, that's what they said. Part of the concern that still exists among Democrats and leftists, because they don't like the fact that this is a victory for this president, especially at this time, is they want to make a big deal at that China continues to subsidize companies in their business. The U.S. does not, quote, subsidize in the way that China does. I mean, just turn over hordes of money so they can go and expand and grow. We don't do that in this country. We do have different tax credits, things of that nature. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole with you. But the bottom line is China, obviously, just like supporting an Olympic team, they pour all their money into it. The U.S. can't do that. And that was a question as far as what's wrong with it, as raised by Senator Schumer yesterday. I want you to hear his remarks and then the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin's response.
The United States concedes our leverage, and in exchange, China makes vague, unenforceable promises it never intends to fulfill.
Well, I completely disagree with Senator Schumer's conclusion, and I think you heard the president talk about that today. This is the first president that has taken on these issues. So Senator Schumer has been around with previous presidents who haven't done anything on this. The president got very significant wins for U.S. business, U.S. workers, and U.S. farmers. And we still have significant tariffs still in place as an incentive to get phase two done.
And phase two, the pressure point we still have is how China's responding. Their economic expansion in the third quarter of last year slowed to 6%. 6%, that's the weakest since record keeping began in 1993, all related to the pressure in the trade war. So China still has a good reason to come forward and continue to deal and adhere to the document. If not, we do have enforcement. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to have us joined by Dr. Rick Layman talking about football concussions and other sports concussions and other pro players saying, I can't play anymore. It's too frightening. And also a weight loss medicine that might be linked to cancer. We'll have that for you. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting, ting, like glitter.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We welcome back to Larry Connors USA, Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Dr. Layman, glad to have you with us. Can you hear us? Dr. Layman, you there?
Hello?
Now we got you. Yeah, I know you're very busy. I appreciate your time. Glad to have you back on board with us.
Larry, it's awesome.
I got several subjects I want to run through. Let me run through this first. We're right in the midst of this flu season. They don't know when it's going to peak, and now they're saying that this year's flu shot is not matching the virus that's mainly circulating. What good is it?
All right, so there's a couple things. The flu season's been terrible. So in the first 2 weeks of the flu season, 4,800 people have died of the flu. So we're 65% ahead of what we've ever been before in terms of death. I mean, so the flu's been terrible. You're 200% right, Larry. The actual vaccine has not been effective. And so the answer to your question, quite honestly, is it probably isn't any good. The Victoria virus is the one that's getting everybody sick, and the vaccine's not working. So unless you're immunocompromised or older on some kind of chemotherapy, I would tell you you're right. Don't take the flu vaccine.
And to that extent, you mentioned the fatalities. 32 children are in those numbers.
Right, and so the numbers are through the roof. The flu is very virulent this year, and you know, just to be honest, the vaccine missed the mark. And some years it completely misses the mark, and some years it minimally misses the mark. This year, again, with this Victoria virus, it's completely missed the mark. So unless you're at high risk, you know, the vaccine probably isn't going to do much, and that's just a fact.
Well, to that extent, I mean, is that going to – folks are already questioning every year, should I get it or not? And they look at this and they think, well, I didn't take the shot last year, didn't get it. I didn't get the flu this year, so if it's not working anyway, should I even bother with the flu vaccine in the future?
Right, and I would tell you no. I would say, you know, unless there's an overwhelming reason to get it, which there isn't in most people, I would say that the flu vaccine, you know, is not effective. And if you look at it year to year, you know, it's about 10 to 12% effective. Well, for 1 in 10 chance of it being effective, your chance of getting a flu are a lot less than that.
There's a weight loss drug that now the FDA is warning might be causing cancer, and we might have quite a few of our listeners either on it, either by generic name or the trade name itself.
That's right, Belvica. So this is a problem.
Again, what is it again? Belvic, is that right?
Yes, sir. And so the problem is this is probably one of the few effective weight loss drugs that we've had. You know, we haven't had good luck with weight loss drugs. And this has been a pretty good drug. And now the FDA comes out and says, look, it may be carcinogenic. And so what you have to do as an individual patient or as a doctor-patient relationship is you have to say this. You have to say, is my weight loss more important to me than the small potential risk or possible risk of getting cancer? So that and it's an individual decision. When this happens, if there was a million drugs out there that could treat this problem, you know, basically generational obesity, then you would say, I'm going to switch to another drug. But there aren't a million drugs out there. There's not a whole lot of options. And so based on this, if you're having good luck, you know, good success with the weight loss drug, you need to kind of stay. I think you need to stay on the weight loss drug and take your chances, but be vigilant and know that there's a small increased risk in the potential for getting cancer. It doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. It means there's a small possible increased risk you're going to get cancer. And if you're losing weight, you're going to live a hell of a lot longer than the potential that you might get cancer. Because if you're, you know, if your BMI is 40, you know, you're definitely going to die early.
And again, it's Belvic, B-E-L-V-I-Q, and the generic form, was it Lorcaserin or something like that?
Lorcaserin, that's right. And the Belvic is there's no generic form for it now. I mean, okay. There's a generic name, but okay. There's no generic form for it. And it's expensive, but it is effective. And again, I mean, it's a conversation you have with your doctor. But I think to go off the rails and say, oh, my gosh, it causes cancer, well, being 100 pounds overweight causes cancer.
All right, let me switch to another subject. Calvin Johnson of the Detroit Lions retired in 2016 at the age of 30, had to pay back $1 million of his signing bonus. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Patrick Willis, five-team All-Pro, retiring at the same age in 2015. And then the other day, Luke Keechee announcing his retirement as a Carolina Panthers teammate, all of them concerned about concussions. They're still in their prime, still able to play, but the concern has been escalated.
Well, yes. I mean, so what are the issues? The issues are everybody out there playing NFL football, absent a kicker, is at high risk of getting A, concussions, B, even with no concussions, traumatic brain encephalopathy, you know, the CTE everyone talks about. And so, and I'll tell you another guy that retired, who is why he retired, Andrew Luck, and I can't really talk about him because he's a patient, but so there's a lot of people rethinking this whole process. You know, where am I going to be in 20 years after playing, whatever, 10 years in the National Football League? And based on that, you know, the real take-home message is if you have a son or a daughter, daughter's playing soccer, son's playing football, maybe had a concussion or two, you know, should I extrapolate this information and say, hey, is it really worth my son or my daughter playing these sports and then having a problem 10 or 15, 20 years down the line? And so what I think's happening is a lot of these guys are seeing the handwriting on the wall. They're seeing their alumni from these teams. They're seeing people they know in the league. And I'll tell you, from a day-to-day basis, it's a disaster. You know, guy coming in at 45 years old, they have no idea where they are, can't remember their kids' names. They have a little card that tells them how to get back home. I mean, it makes you want to cry. So based on that, I think a lot of people are reassessing their careers and saying, you know, hey, this isn't worth it. But what the listeners have to hear is, hey, this isn't any good if your kid's 18 and had three concussions either.
Yeah, and I think for that reason, I know in particular, my daughters have said the grandsons cannot play football. But again, if you're in soccer, you might have same kind of injuries, but not as often.
You don't know that. I mean, right. Women's soccer, you know, women's soccer concussions are through the roof, and women having cerebral problems later in life, and I'm talking 5 to 7 years on standardized testing, going through the roof. So that remains to be seen.
All right. One other thing before we leave that subject. Also, New England Patriots tight end Gronkowski, again, a guy that, you know, we love to see these hits. I mean, as fans, we love to see them and rip them and the replays and the players, yeah, and all. But it's that macho in your face. I think the rules have changed to help a lot and the efforts to make the helmets better, but we continue to have these issues.
But, you know, you hit it on the head, Larry. There's a premium on those hits. That they're not showing you, you know, that's what they're showing over and over again, and everybody's doing it on when somebody just gets absolutely laid out, and most of those hits are helmet to helmet. So it's like steroids in a home run. We want to see everyone hit home runs, but we don't want anyone to take steroids. Well, you can't have it both ways. So if you're going to put a premium on a guy who's a vicious hitter, and then you're going to say, well, we're seeing more concussions, you got to pick your poison.
You're listening to Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Doctor, you also, I want a quick rundown. You were on a trip out of the country, and I was surprised you. Well, you got to tell me why you went there, first of all, I guess.
Well, you know, so we've been to all the other continents. We decided we want to go to the seventh continent, White Continent, Antarctica. And I got to tell you, it's a long way to get down there. You know, you got to fly to Patagonia and you get on a boat. It's a big deal. But it's just the most amazing thing you've ever seen. These glaciers, nothing you could see on planet, any of these TV shows that does it justice. I mean, the sea ice, the whales come up to these little inflatable Zodiacs that you're on, and literally you could pet the whale. I mean, humpback whale, killer whale. It's the most amazing thing in the world. So, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime, and it was crazy. The only negative in the whole thing was going from Patagonia to Antarctica, you cross this thing called Drake's Passage, which is the confluence of the Atlantic and the Pacific, and the waves, we're in a big cruise boat, you know, luxury cruise boat, and the waves were like 60, 70 feet.
Wow.
And people were throwing up right and left.
Wow. How did you fare?
You know, I don't get sick, so, I mean, I'm watching all these people grabbing the bags. It didn't bother me at all.
And they hate you for it, too.
Yeah, everyone is looking at me like, you asshole.
Doctor, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks for helping run through several subjects for us. We'll do it again.
Let's do it again.
You bet. Thank you very much. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, and in full disclosure, he's also one of my doctors I've used for rotator cuff surgery, both shoulders and other issues as well, along with his partner, Dr. Steve Laley. So I want to give that to you up front, or add it to, I should say. You know, these concussions we're talking about, that is a frightening situation. And I love football. I grew up in Texas where everybody plays football. If you don't play football, you don't play anything. But the concern about concussions is getting stronger. And his point being about young women in soccer and their concussions. We've known they've had a real trouble with the knee injuries in soccer for women, and now the concussions for them as well. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, this New York City sanctuary policy. This is the kind of stuff we warned repeatedly is going to be making streets unsafe for American citizens, and yet you got cities and states that say, no, we're going to be a sanctuary. Somebody's got to pay a price for it.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There is one thing you can always count on when you're dealing with the left. They will tell you what you need to be doing. They will tell you. And they will tell you, you can't eat that, you shouldn't eat that, you shouldn't own that, shouldn't do that, shouldn't drive that car. They will tell you. Doesn't mean they're always going to go by the same criteria. They just want to run your life. A quick point here for you. Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Bernie Sanders, each of them saying, we're for the woman, we're for the woman. Although, depending on if you believe Sanders or Warren, Sanders apparently said recently no woman could be elected president. He's denied that. She said, well, you are calling me a liar on our debate the other day, but here's what I'm leading up to. Both of them talking about empowering women. Both of them. Senator Elizabeth Warren. You know what she pays her staff, according to a new survey out? The average salary for a full-time female employee working for Elizabeth Warren is about $63,500 a year. $63,500. You know what Senator Sanders pays his same full-time female employee? $68,000. Another $5,000. But they're going to tell you how you should be doing and living your life. Same way when it comes to illegal aliens. They're going to say we should have sanctuary cities and states all across the nation and telling you that you should be willing to accept illegals walking your streets. But not one of them ever come forward and say, well, I'll be glad to put one of those illegals in my home. I've got enough rooms I can take more than one. They do not do that. They just say, let them be on the streets. And there's a price to be paid. And it's reemphasized by what just happened in New York City. The acting Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, tweeting out yesterday, there's been a complete breakdown of law and order in New York City. New York City proudly passed sanctuary city laws, bragged about it for months, but now they, and more importantly, the citizens of New York City, are facing the deadly consequences of sanctuary policies. He's talking about what happened the other day. Actually, it happened some time ago, but it's apparently now just coming out. An illegal immigrant was being held by New York City, and they did not hold him for ICE to pick him up. Federal immigration authorities wanted them to hold him till they could get there to pick him up. They turned him loose because they're a sanctuary city, you know. So this illegal starts walking down the street around 2, sometime early in the morning, and sees this 92-year-old woman, and she looks like an easy target. And police say he attacked her and then left her conscious but incoherent, half-dressed in 32-degree weather. She was taken to hospital, where she died from injuries that included a broken spine. Police arrested. Now they arrest him again, this illegal immigrant. And he says, oh, I found her on the ground. I was trying to help, and I fell down. My belt broke, and my pants fell down, and my penis fell near her vagina. That's his explanation. That's his explanation. And again, I saying we had a federal immigration detainer on this guy for previous charges of assault and weapons. New York Police Department, under the New York City sanctuary laws, ignored the detainer and let the guy go. Thomas Decker, the field officer for ICE Enforcement Removal Operation, said that sanctuary policy is dangerously flawed. He says New York politicians care more about criminal, illegal immigrants and their own people. And that's a fact. He added, in New York City alone, hundreds of arrestees are released each month with pending charges and or convictions to return back into the communities where they committed their crimes instead of being transferred in the custody of ICE. And of course, now that New York City also has, and I'm speaking, not him, now that they have this new bail law where you'll be released without any bail unless it's a really high crime, they're going to turn even more loose. This is what the politicians of New York think is good for the citizens of New York? DHS spokeswoman Heather Swift says hypocrisy. De Blasio runs and hides behind police because he cannot defend his anti-enforcement policies. Tell me, Mr. Mayor, what are you going to tell her family? I could have prevented your loved one's rape and murder, but I decided to provide sanctuary to criminal aliens instead. That's it. But the left will continue to tell you what you should do and how you should live your life. But I don't see them stepping forward. I don't see anybody in New York City. I don't see one of these politicians. I don't see the mayor saying, look, next time you're going to turn someone loose, send them over to the mansion. I'll keep them here for a while. Fat chance. Next hour, we're going to take another look at some of the impeachment issues coming up with the Senate. And also, there's a peak you reach in your age where you're absolutely miserable. It doesn't have to do with your age or your politics. And also, Nancy Pelosi and a maiden form bra. What? Oh, I can tie those together. And then a doll with a penis. Coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.